Chapter 4. At the reception desk at James Riddle Veterans Hospital at Base 3 on Ganymede, Leo Bolero tipped his expensive hand-fashioned Wubfer derby to the girl in her starched white uniform and said,
"I'm here to see a patient, a Mr. Eldon Trent."
"I'm sorry, sir," the girl began, but he cut her off.
"Tell them Leo Bolero is here. Got it? Leo Bolero."
And he saw past her hand to the register. He saw the number of Eldridge's room. As the girl turned to the switchboard, he strode in the direction of that number. "The hell with waiting," he said to himself. "I came millions of miles, and I expect to see the man, or the thing, whichever it is." An armed UN soldier with a rifle halted him at the door, a very young man with clear, cold eyes like a girl's, eyes that emphatically said no, even to him.
"Okay," Leo grumbled. "I get the picture. But if he knew who it was out here, he'd say, 'Let me in.'"
Beside him, at his ear, startling him, a sharp female voice said,
"How did you find out my father was here, Mr. Bolero?"
He turned and saw a rather heavy-set woman in her mid-30s. She regarded him intently, and he thought, "This is Zoe Eldridge. I ought to know. She's on the society pages of the homeopapes enough." A UN official approached.
"Miss Eldridge, if you'd like, we can evict Mr. Bolero from this building. It's up to you."
He smiled pleasantly at Leo, and all at once Leo identified him. This was the chief of the UN's legal division, Ned Lark's superior, Frank Santina. Dark-eyed, alert, somatically vibrant, Santina looked quickly from Leo to Zoe Eldridge, waiting for a response.
"No,"
Zoe Eldridge said at last.
"At least not right now. Not until I find out how he found out Dad is here. He can't know. Can you, Mr. Bolero?"
Santina murmured, "Through one of his prefash precogs, probably. Isn't that so, Bolero?"
Presently, Leo reluctantly nodded.
"You see, Miss Eldridge," Santina explained, "a man like Bolero can hire anything he wants, any form of talent. So we expected him."
He indicated the two uniformed armed guards at Palmer Eldridge's door.
"That's why we require both of them at all times, as I try to explain." "Isn't there any way I can do business with Eldridge?" Leo demanded. "That's what I came here for. I've got nothing illegal in mind. I think all of you are nuts, or else you're trying to hide something. Maybe you've got guilty consciences."
He eyed them, but saw nothing.
"Is it really Palmer Eldridge in there?"
he asked.
"I bet it isn't."
Again he got no response. Neither of them rose to the jibe.
"I'm tired," he said. "It was a long-type trip here. The hell with it. I'm going to go get something to eat, and then I'm going to find a hotel room and sleep for 10 hours, and forget this."
Turning, he stalked off. Neither Santina nor Miss Eldridge tried to stop him. Disappointed, he continued on, feeling oppressive disgust. Obviously, he would have to reach Palmer Eldridge through some medium agency. Perhaps, he reflected, Felix Blau and his private police could gain entry here. It was worth a try. But once he became this depressed, nothing seemed to matter. Why not do as he had said, eat and then get some needed rest, forget about reaching Eldridge for the time being? "The hell with all of them," he said to himself, as he left the hospital building and marched out onto the sidewalk to search for a cab. That daughter, he thought. Tough-looking, like a lesbian, with her hair cut short and no makeup. Ugh. He found a cab and rode airborne for a time while he pondered. Using the cab's vid system, he contacted Felix back on Earth.
"I'm glad you called," Felix Blau said, as soon as he made out who it was. "There's an organization that's come into existence in Boston under strange circumstances. It seems to have sprung up overnight, completely intact, including..."
"What's it doing?"
"They're preparing to market something. The machinery is there, including 3 ad satellites similar to your own, one on Mars, one on Io, one on Titan. The rumor we hear is that they're preparing to approach the market with a commodity directly competing with your own perky path layouts. It'll be called Connie Companion Doll."
He smiled briefly.
"Isn't that cute?"
Leo said,
"What about, you know, the additive?" "No information on that, assuming there is one. It would be beyond the legal scope of merchandising operations, presumably. Is a min layout any use, minus the additive?"
"No."
Then that would seem to answer that.
Leo said, I called you to find out if you can get me in to see Palmer Eldritch. I've located him here at Base 3 on Ganymede.
You recall my report on Eldritch's importation of a lichen similar to that used in the manufacture of candy. Has it occurred to you that this new Boston outfit may have been set up by Eldritch? Although it would seem rather soon for that. However, he could have radioed ahead years ago to his daughter.
I've got to see him, Leo said.
It's James Riddle Hospital, I assume. We thought he might be there. By the way, you ever heard of a man named Richard Hanat?
Never.
A rep from this new Boston outfit met with him and transacted some kind of business deal. This rep, Ichholz.
What a mess, Leo said. And I can't even get to Eldritch. Santina is hanging around at the door, along with that dyke daughter of Palmer's.
No one would get past the two of them, he decided. He gave Felix Blau the address of a hotel at Base 3, the one at which he had left his baggage, and then rang off. I bet he's right, he said to himself. Palmer Eldritch is this competitor. Just my luck. I have to be in the particular line that Eldritch, on his way back from Prox, decides to enter. Why couldn't I be making rocket guidance systems and be only competing with GE and General Dynamics? Now he really wondered about the lichen which Eldritch had brought with him. An improvement on candy, perhaps. Cheaper to produce, capable of creating translation of longer duration and intensity.
Jeez.
Mulling, here and now, a bizarre recollection came to him. An organization emanating from the United Arab Republic, trained assassins for hire. Fat chance they would have against Palmer Eldritch. A man like that, once he had made his mind up. And yet Rondinella Fugati's precognition remained. In the future he would be arraigned for the murder of Palmer Eldritch. Evidently he would find a way, despite the obstacles. He had with him a weapon so small, so intangible, that even the most thorough search couldn't disclose it. Some time ago, a surgeon at Washington, D.C., had sewn it into his tongue, a self-guiding, high-velocity poison dart, modeled on Soviet-Russian lines, but vastly improved, in that once it had reached its victim, it obliterated itself, leaving no remains. The poison, too, was original. It did not curtail heart or respiratory action. In fact, it was not a poison, but a filterable virus which multiplied in the victim's bloodstream, causing death within 48 hours. It was carcinomatous, an importation from one of Uranus's moons, and still generally unknown. It had cost him a great deal. All he needed to do was stand within arm's length of his intended victim and manually squeeze the base of his tongue, protruding the same simultaneously in the victim's direction. So if he could see Eldritch... And I had better arrange it, he realized, before this new Boston corporation is in production, before it can function without Eldritch. Like any weed, it had to be caught early or not at all. When he reached his hotel room, he placed a call to PP Layouts to see if any vital-type messages or events were awaiting his attention.
Yes, Miss Gleason said as soon as she recognized him. There's an urgent call from a Miss Impatience White, if that's her name, if I did get it right. Here's the number. It's on Mars.
She held the slip to the vid screen. At first Leo could not place any woman named White, and then he identified her and felt fright. Why had she called?
Thanks, he mumbled, and at once rang off. God, if the UN Legal Division had monitored the call, because Impy White, operating out of Mars, was a top pusher of candy. With great reluctance, he called the number.
Small-faced and sharp-eyed, pretty in a short sort of way, Impy White obtained on the vidscreen. He had imagined her as much more brawny. She looked quite bantam-like, but fierce, though.
Mr. Bolero, as soon as I say it...
There's no other way? No channels?
A method existed by which Connor Freeman, chief of the Venusian operation, could contact him. Miss White could have worked through Freeman, her superior.
I visited the hovel, Mr. Bolero, at the south of Mars this morning with a shipment. The Hubblers declined, on the grounds that they had spent all their skins for a new product, in the same class as what we sell. Choosy,
she went on.
And...
Leo Bolero rang off, and sat shakily in silence, thinking. I've got to not get rattled, he told himself. After all, I'm an evolved human variety. So this is it. This is that Boston firm's new product. Derived from Eldritch's lichen, I have to assume that. He's lying there on his hospital bed, not a mile from me, giving the orders no doubt through Zoe, and there's not a flinging thing I can do. The operation is all set up and functioning. I'm already too late. Even this thing in my tongue, he realized. It's futile now. But I'll think of something, he knew. I always do. This was not the end of PP layouts, exactly. The only thing was, what could he do? It eluded him, and this did not decrease his sweaty, nervous alarm. Come to me, artificially accelerated cortical development idea, he said in prayer. God help me to overcome my enemies, the bastards. Maybe if I make use of my prefash precogs, Ronnie Fugati and Barney, maybe they can come up with something. Especially that old pro Barney. He hasn't been brought in on this at all as yet. Once more he placed a vidcall to PP layouts back on Terra. This time he requested Barney Mayerson's department. And then he remembered Barney's problem with the draft, his need of developing an inability to endure stress in order not to wind up in a hovel on Mars. Grimly, Leo Bolero thought, I'll provide that proof. For him, the danger of being drafted is already over. When the call came from Leo Bolero and Ganymede, Barney Mayerson was alone in his office. The conversation did not last long. When he had hung up, he glanced at his watch and marveled. 5 minutes. It had seemed a major interval in his life. Rising, he touched the button of his intercom and said, Don't let anyone in for a while. Especially not even Miss Fugati. He walked to the window and stood gazing out at the hot, bright, empty street. Leo was dumping the entire problem in his lap. It was the first time he had seen his employer collapse. Imagine, he thought, Leo Bolero baffled by the first competition that he had ever experienced. He very simply was not used to it. The new Boston company's existence had totally, for the time being, disoriented him. The man became the child. Eventually Leo would snap out of it, but meanwhile... What can I get from this? Barney Mayerson asked himself, and did not immediately see any answer. I can help Leo, but exactly what can Leo do for me? That was a question more to his liking. In fact, he had to think of it that way. Leo himself had taught him to over the years. His employer would not have wanted it any other way. For a time he sat meditating, and then, as Leo had directed, he turned his attention to the future. And while he was at it, he poked once more into his own draft situation. He tried to see precisely how that would finally resolve itself. But the topic of his being drafted was too small, too much an iota, to be recorded in the public annals of the great. He could scan no homeopathe headlines, hear no newscasts. In Leo's case, however, it was something else again. Because he previewed a number of Pape lead articles pertaining to Leo and Palmer Eldritch. Everything, of course, was blurred, and alternates presented themselves in a chaos of profusion. Leo would meet Eldritch, Leo would not. And, at this he focused intently, Leo arraigned for the murder of Palmer Eldritch. Good Lord, what did that mean? It meant, he discovered from closer scrutiny, just what it said. And if Leo were arrested, tried, and sentenced, it might mean the termination of PP layouts as a salary-paying enterprise. Hence the end of a career to which he had already sacrificed everything else in his life, his marriage, and the woman he, even now, loved. Obviously it was to his advantage, a necessity, in fact, to warn Leo, and yet even this datum could be turned to advantage. He phoned Leo back. I have your news. Good! Leo beamed, his florid, elongated, rind-topped face suffused with relief. Go ahead, Barney. Barney said, There will soon be a situation which you can exploit. You can get in to see Palmer Eldritch, not there at the hospital, but elsewhere. He'll be removed from Ganymede by his own order. He added with caution, not wanting to give away too much of the data he had collected. There'll be a falling out between him and the UN. He's using them now while he's incapacitated to protect him. But when he's well... Details, Leo said at once, cocking his big head alertly. There is something I'd like in exchange. For what? Leo's palpably evolved face clouded. Barney said, In exchange for my telling you the exact date and locus at which you can successfully reach Palmer Eldritch. Grumbling, Leo said, And what do you want, for Christ's sake? He eyed Barney apprehensively. E-therapy had not brought tranquility. 1/4% of your gross, of PP layouts, not including revenue from any other source. meaning the plantation network on Venus where candy was obtained.
"Good food in heaven," Leo said and breathed raggedly. "There's more." "What more? I mean, you'll be rich."
"And I want a restructuring of your use of prefash consultants. Each will stay at his post, nominally handle the job he has now, but with this alteration, all their decisions will be referred to me for final review. I'll have the ultimate say-so on their determinations. So I no longer will represent any one region. You can turn New York over to Ronnie as soon as..."
"Power hungry," Leo said in a grating voice.
Barney shrugged. Who cared what it was called? It represented the culmination of his career. This was what counted. And they were all in it for this, Leo included. In fact, Leo first of all.
"Okay," Leo said, nodding. "You can ride herd on all the other prefash consultants. It doesn't mean anything to me. Now, tell me how and when and where."
"You can meet Palmer Eldritch in 3 days. One of his own ships, unmarked, will take him off Ganymede the day after tomorrow to his domain on Luna. There he'll continue to recuperate, but no longer in UN territory. Frank Santino won't have any more authority in this matter, so you can forget about him. On the 23rd, at his domain, Eldritch will meet Pape reporters and give them his version of what took place on his trip. He'll be in a good mood, at least so they'll report. Apparently healthy, glad to be back, recovering satisfactorily. He'll give a long story about..."
"Just tell me how to get in. There'll still be a security system by his own boys."
Barney said, "PP Layouts, get this, puts out a trade journal 4 times a year. The Mind of Minning. It's such a small-scale operation, you probably don't even know it exists."
"You mean I should go as a reporter from our house organ?"
Leo stared at him.
"I can get entry to his domain on that basis?"
He looked disgusted.
"Hell, I didn't have to pay you for such garbagey information. It would have been announced in the next day or so. I mean, if Pape reporters are going to be there, it must be made public."
Barney shrugged. He did not bother to answer.
"I guess you got me," Leo said. "I was too eager. Well," he added philosophically, "maybe you can tell me what he's going to give the Pape reporters by way of an explanation. What did he find in the proc system? Does he mention the lichens he brought back?"
"He does. He claims they're a benign form, approved by the UN's Narcotics Control Bureau, which will replace..." He hesitated. "Certain dangerous, habit-forming derivatives now in wide use, and..."
"And," Leo finished stonily, "he's going to announce the formation of a company to peddle his narcotic-exempt commodity."
"Yes," Barney said, "called Choosy, with the slogan, Be Choosy, Chew Choosy."
"Ah, oh, for God's sake!"
"It was all set up by Intersystem Radio Laser long ago, through his daughter, with the approval of Santina and Lark at the UN. In fact, with Hepburn Gilbert's own approval. They see this as a way of putting a finish to the candy trade." There was silence.
"Okay,"
Leo said hoarsely after a time. "It seems a shame you couldn't have previewed this a couple of years ago.
But hell, you're an employee and no one told you to."
Barney shrugged. Grim-faced, Leo Bolero rang off. "So that's that," Barney said to himself. "I violated Rule 1 of career-oriented functioning. Never tell your superior something he doesn't want to hear. I wonder what the consequences of that will be." The vidphone all at once came back on. Once again, Leo Bolero's clouded features formed.
"Listen, Barney, I just had a thought. This is going to make you sore, so get set."
"I'm set," he prepared himself.
"I forgot, and I shouldn't have, that I previously talked to Miss Fugatti, and she knows about certain events in the future pertaining to myself and Palmer Eldritch. Events which, in any case, if she were to get disturbed, and having you ride herd on her would make her disturbed, she might fly into a fit and do us harm. In fact, I got to thinking that potentially all my prefash consultants could come across this information, so the idea of you supervising all of them..."
"The events," Barney interrupted, "have to do with your arraignment for the first-degree murder of Palmer Eldritch, correct?" Leo grunted, wheezed, and stared morosely at him. At last, reluctantly, he nodded. "I'm not going to let you pull out of the agreement you just now made with me," Barney said. "You made me certain promises, and I expect you to..."
"But," Leo bleated, "that fool girl,
She's erratic. She'll run to the UN cops. Barney, she's got me.
So have I, he pointed out quietly.
Yeah, but I've known you for years.
Leo appeared to be thinking rapidly, appraising the situation with what he enjoyed calling his next stage in the Homo sapiens-type evolved knowledge powers, or some such thing.
You're a pal. You wouldn't do that. What she'd do. And anyhow, I can still offer you the percentage of the gross you asked for. Okay?
He eyed Barney anxiously, but with formidable determination. He had made up his mind.
Can we finalize on that, then?
We already finalized.
But damn it, like I said, I forgot about...
If you don't come through, Barney said, I'll quit and go somewhere else with my ability.
He had worked too many years to turn back at this point.
You?
Leo said unbelievingly.
I mean, you're not just talking about going to the UN police. You're talking about switching sides and going over to Palmer Eldritch.
Barney said nothing.
You darn snink, Leo said. So this is what trying to stay afloat in times like this has done to us. Listen, I'm not so sure Palmer would accept you. Probably he's got his prefash people already set up. And if he does, he knows the news already about my...
He broke off.
Yeah, I'll take the chance. I think you have that Greek sin. What did they call it? Hubris? Pride, like Satan had, reaching too far. Go ahead and reach, Barney. In fact, do anything you want. It doesn't matter to me. And lots of luck, fella. Keep me posted on how you make out. And the next time you feel inclined to blackmail somebody...
Barney cut the connection. The screen became a formless gray. Gray, he thought, like the world inside me and around me, like reality. He rose and walked stiffly back and forth, hands in his trouser pockets. My best bet, he decided, at this point, God forbid, is to join with Ronnie Fugati, because she's the one Leo is scared of, and for good reason. There must be a whole galaxy of things she'd do that I wouldn't, and Leo knows it. Reseating himself, he had Ronnie paged, brought at last into his office.
Hi,
she said brightly, colorful in her Peking-style silk dress, sans bra.
What's up? I tried to reach you a minute ago, but...
You just never, he said, never have on all your clothes. Shut the door. She shut the door. However, he said, to give you your due, you were very good in bed last night.
Thank you.
Her youthful, clear face glowed. Barney said, Do you foresee clearly that our employer will murder Palmer Eldritch, or is there doubt? Swallowing, she ducked her head and murmured,
You just reek with talent.
She seated herself and crossed her legs, which were, he noticed, bare.
Of course there's doubt. First of all, I think it's moronic of Mr. Bolero, because of course it means the end of his career. The papes will not know his motives for it, so I can't guess. It must be something enormous and dreadful, don't you think?
The end of his career, Barney said, and also yours and mine.
No, Ronnie said. I don't think so, dear. Let's consider a moment. Mr. Palmer Eldritch is going to replace him in the minfield. Isn't that Mr. Bolero's probable motive? And doesn't that tell us something about the economic reality to come? Even with Mr. Eldritch dead, it would appear that his organization will...
So we go over to Eldritch? Just like that?
Screwing up her face in concentration, Ronnie said laboredly,
No, I don't quite mean that. But we must be wary of losing with Mr. Bolero. We don't want to find ourselves dragged down with him. I have years ahead of me, and to some lesser extent so do you.
Thanks, he said acidly.
What we must do now is to plan carefully, and if Precogs can't plan for the future...
I provided Leo with info that'll lead to a meeting between him and Eldritch. Had it occurred to you that the two of them might form a syndicate together? He eyed her intently.
I see nothing like that ahead. No paper article to that effect.
God, he said with scorn, it's not going to get into the papes.
Oh.
Chastened, she nodded.
That's so, I guess.
And if that happened, he said, we'd be nowhere once we left Leo and marched over to Eldritch. He'd have us back and on his own terms. We'd be better off getting out of the prefash business entirely. That was obvious to him, and he saw by the expression on Ronnie Fugati's face that it was obvious to her, too.
If we approach Palmer Eldritch...
If? We've got to.
Barney said.
No, we don't. We can stumble along like we are.
As employees of Leo Bolero, whether he sinks or rises or even completely disappears, he thought to himself.
I'll tell you what else we can do. We can approach all the other prefash consultants that work for PP Layouts and form a syndicate of our own.
It was an idea he had toyed with for years.
A guild, so to speak, with a monopoly. Then we can dictate terms to both Leo and Eldritch.
Except, Ronnie said, that Eldritch has prefash consultants of his own, evidently.
She smiled at him.
You have no clear conception of what to do, have you, Barney?
I can see that.
What a shame. And you've worked so many years.
She shook her head sadly.
I can see, he said, why Leo was hesitant at the idea of crossing you.
Because I tell the truth?
She raised her eyebrows.
Yes, perhaps so. Everybody's afraid of the truth. You, for instance. You don't like to face the fact that you said no to that poor pot salesman just to get back at the woman who...
Shut up! He said savagely.
You know where that pot salesman probably is right now? Signed up by Palmer Eldritch. You did him and your ex-wife a favor. Whereas if you'd said yes, you'd have chained him to a declining company, cut both of them out of their chance to...
She broke off.
I'm making you feel bad.
Gesturing, he said,
This is just not relevant to what I called you in here for.
That's right,
she nodded.
You called me in here so we could work out a way of betraying Leo Bolero together.
Baffled, he said,
Listen, but it's so. You can't handle it alone. You need me. I haven't said no. Keep calm. However, I don't think this is the place or the time to discuss it. Let's wait until we're home at the Connaught, okay?
She gave him then a brilliant smile, one of absolute warmth.
Okay, he agreed. She was right.
Wouldn't it be sad, Ronnie said, if this office of yours were bugged? Perhaps Mr. Bolero is going to get a tape of everything we've said just now.
Her smile continued, even grew. It dazzled him. The girl was afraid of no one and nothing, on Earth or in the whole Sol system, he realized. He wished he felt the same way, because there was one problem that haunted him, one he had not discussed with either Leo or her, although it was certainly bothering Leo, too, and should, if she were as rational as she seemed, be bothering her. It had yet to be established that what had come back from Prox, the person or thing that had crashed on Pluto, was really Palmer Eldritch.